Welcome back to another episode of the Reason to Behold podcast with Tolu Talks.
And Arnold Reasons. I thought you were going to give it the YouTube live intro again.
I know, but I forgot. It's been a long day. I'm tired.
Oh, I hear that, bro. I hear that.
But I've got a scenario for us to talk about, bro.
Is this like fair or foul?
No. It's not. Nothing like that. It's actually more of a scenario to speak into, I would say.
Okay.
So we talk a lot about seed time and harvest.
Okay.
We speak a lot about the principles that God set out and how different things that we can do can lead to us experiencing positive financial results, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing cryptic. In a few conversations that I've had lately, there's been a common theme that I've noticed come up, and it's been around just the subject of believing that those things can work, not in general, but can work for you. Right?
Okay.
So the question that I'd like us to speak on and speak to is, if someone listening said, right, I hear all of that stuff about seed time and harvest. I hear all of this good stuff you're talking about, the principles of God, and how if I practice the principles, I can experience the financial prosperity and more. But I don't fully believe, I'm not fully convinced that they will work specifically for me. What would you say to somebody in that position?
Well, Arnold,
what I would say, I'm not the person, bro. You call me by name, bro.
because I'm talking to you.
But you know what? Saying that, though, it's not impossible for me to think something like this, right? Asking for a friend.
Yeah. When I said Arnold, it wasn't because I was trying to at you. I was just responding.
Use me, bro. That's fine. Go with my name. That's fine.
No. What I would say, Arnold, to someone like that is that a few things. One of them is that, in the nicest way possible, you're not that special. because in the nicest way possible, of course, these are laws that God has put in place to govern the whole world. So why would it not work for you and only you? Right? Like, what reason? God's not even a respecter of persons. And when unbelievers flow with the laws that God has put in place, it works for them. So why all of a sudden would it not work for you? You know, like, if you plant seed in the right soil, you water it, you give it the right sunlight, all of those stuff, you take care of it, it's going to grow. That is the law that God has put in place. And I think it's actually in the Bible about what, I think it might be Genesis. Let's find it. Bible verse. Because
as long as the earth remains.
Yep.
I think it might be 8.
Genesis 8:22. Mm-hmm. So let's get it. So just so that, because some of it is sometimes we don't understand that this isn't just like a nice Christian principle. Like, this is what God founded the world on. Do you see what I mean? Like, this is how the world works. So it's like gravity. Gravity applies to everybody unless you do something to make it not apply to you, like go out to space. But even there, the rules of gravity apply, just in a different way to hit. So it's Genesis 8:22.
And for those that might be listening audibly, we got a little visual for you too, so check it out on YouTube.
I got confused because I was like, what did I do something wrong? I thought I broke it. It says, and this is just after, for context, this is just after the flood, right? And so this is where God is making promises. And it says, so if we go back to verse 18. So Noah, his wife, and his sons and their wives left the boat, and all of the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat pair by pair. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed as burnt offerings the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything that they think or imagine is bent towards evil from childhood. We can have a whole other episode on just that bit. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. So it's like these principles are just universal principles. It's not, why would it not apply to you? So I think that that's one thing. I think the other thing I would say is, are you doing the things that you're meant to be doing? Right? So are you planting the right seeds? Are you watering those seeds? Are you taking care and nurturing the seeds that you're planting? And are you actually reaping your harvest at the right time? Because, bro, you could have all the harvest, but if you didn't reap it, you would still be experiencing like you didn't have anything. So my second thing is that if you feel like those things are not working for you, it means that you're not working it. Because for me, these things, they work if you work it. Right? If you do the things that you're meant to do, then it will happen. If you're not doing the things that you're meant to do, then it won't happen. So my question, second thing would be, okay, are you doing the things that you need to be doing? My third thing is like, do you actually believe? Like, because if you believe, you do different things, you know? Do you really believe that this is, and that's why I took it to the word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. What is it that you believe and why is it that you believe that? Do you know what I mean? Like, why do you believe that it might not work for you? What is that based on? And does that line up with the word? Because that's really what is going to make the massive difference as well.
And that's really good, bro. And I think, do you know what? Even on the verses you just pulled out, excuse me, I think one of the interesting things is that there is nothing that it's contingent upon to do with like your activities, how good you are, how like how much you've done of it. There's no like pre-requirement that says that so long as you have done all of these things, then seed time and harvest will remain. But like you said, it's just down to, it's an established principle. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, right? And I, for me personally, also looking at some of the other things within that same verse helped me to encourage myself just generally day to day and remember that this thing really is just there, because it's like cold and heat. Is it still cold and hot? Like summer and winter, do we still have a summer and a winter? Day and night still happens every single day. And it's grouped in that same set of things. So that's one thing that I think is encouraging. And I think the other thing is as well that he says this after he's just wiped out the whole of humanity, right? And spared Noah, his sons, and a few people more, right? And I think it's interesting how, even as you read on in Genesis, you get to hear how Noah gets drunk, his son, one of his sons, Ham, uncovers his nakedness and all that, or exposes his nakedness, blah, 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 blah. Like, sin continues in the earth, right? In different ways, and it plays out in different kind of outplays. But you still see, along the way, that same principle of seed time and harvest continuously playing out. So I think those are a few things I think that we can be encouraged by. Go on, you got something?
I think, because I was just thinking about what you said about like whether you do anything or not, it's just going to be there. And it just got me thinking that seed time and harvest, like the seasons and the conditions to make things grow, etc., are always going to be there. It's about are we taking advantage of it and are we participating or not? That's really what it comes down to, is am I participating? Am I sowing seed?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good way to put it, because in the same way that cold and heat are going to be there, right? If it's cold and you don't decide to put on a jacket, you're going to suffer. If it's hot and you decide to go out in a jacket and all of these layers, you're going to suffer. So it's about getting in sync with the thing that has been established and working with the principle itself. You said something which I thought would be worth unpicking a little bit more. And you spoke about, are you doing the right things? What would you say are the right things that should be done? So like, assuming someone has never engaged with these principles before, right? Starting from ground zero. They've just about gone past being able to believe, okay, fair enough, I've heard what you guys have said, and I can't find a case as to why this wouldn't work for me, right? So like, okay, so what are the right things that I should be doing? What would you say to that?
I think it's sowing seed is definitely one of them. So I think that, for example, like, you know how I feel about Brother Alex, right? So where he talks about doing the work, You know, are you doing the work? Are you, let's say, for example, you have a business. Are you making the phone calls? Let's say, for example, you're an employee and your job is to answer emails. Are you answering the emails that you should be answering? Are you trying to add value into people? Are you sowing into people? Like for me, the first thing is sowing the seed, right? That's the first thing. Are you doing the things that you're meant to be doing to sow seeds? I think the next thing for me is about nurturing it. So it's that thing of, you know, actually sometimes we tear down our good work, or like we pull up our seed. You know, so you might have sown a seed, you might not be seeing results. You start saying, this doesn't work. I don't believe it works. See, I told you it doesn't work. You're literally pulling your seed out of the ground. You're not even giving it time to do its thing because you're going to give up on it because it's not grown fruit in like 2 weeks. So it's like, that's one of the things is, are you nurturing the seed? So, okay, you've sown some good seed. Are you now doing the things to add to that, or are you doing things to pull it up out of the ground? And I think that that is often actually where people really miss it, is that they're not patient with the season, and they're not patient with how long it takes for these things to grow. You know, like we need to start thinking in much longer time horizons.
You know what? You said the key word, and now I'm actually going to quote Bishop Hormozy, right?
Bishop.
Because he actually, go see his fruit. He did. Bishop, that's up to you. He has a really interesting way that he's spoken about patience, right?
Oh, yeah.
And like he's explained about how when we speak about patience, people usually think it's like this special like characteristic that you're supposed to develop. But he simplifies it and says patience, at least the way he sees it, is finding something else to do in the meantime, right?
Yeah.
Occupying that same time whilst whatever needs to happen needs to happen. And for me, that perspective has been very, very helpful. I can't chapter and verse it, but it's been helpful because like I'll confess, I am left to myself, I'm very impatient, bro. Like when it comes to the idea of seed time and harvest, like I'm the guy that before the seed has even been covered up by the dirt, bro, I want to see a tree, right? Not only do I want to see a tree, I want to see a tree that's given birth to like 10 other trees. Like that's how left to myself I would be. But I have honestly found that the more that I think about, yes, doing the important work of putting the seed in the ground, what are the practical things that need to be done to put it there? What is the dirt that I need to put on top of it? How do I need to maintain it in the meantime? But if you've ever done any gardening or if you've ever planted any seed in the ground, you don't just put the seed in, put dirt on it, and then just hold the watering can over it 24/7. It's like you water it, then you go away. Right? Then you come back the next day, and then you go away, and then you come back the next day, and then you go away, or whatever your frequency is. And so I've been finding with some of the things that I know that I'm having to really just accept it takes time, I'm finding what are the things that I can do to just go away and keep busy so that I can come back when I need to maintain and keep things going, but then not make the mistake of just putting the seed in the ground, putting the dirt on it, holding the water can over it and just expecting it to just become a tree straight away, right?
Yeah. It's funny because I think I heard that yesterday and I've just been trying to just work it through and understand it and say like, because also what I always check with, you know, Bishop Hormozy is, okay, he's not a man of faith, right? He's very humanist. Yeah.
Depends on what he said. He might say otherwise.
Does he?
He might say otherwise.
I've not heard that.
If you listen closely, there's some things that I've heard him say. I haven't heard him explicitly actually say what his position is. However, I have heard him say a few things along the way, which have been a few little hints and dips that he may have at least been around it at some point.
Yeah, well,
that's as much as I can
around it. And most people have been around it.
If we want to really go there, there's a lot of people that are around it who aren't really about it, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it's neither here nor there.
Well,
but anyway, you make your point. Don't worry about that.
That's why, because I'd actually be intrigued to hear some of the things that you've heard, because most of the stuff that I hear from him, I'm like, nah, you're definitely not about it. So I'd be intrigued to see some of those things. But
do you think it's just because he's a lot more explicit about what he really thinks and how he lives?
No. Like, no, because, you know, brother AF, like, I have some questions. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I've never heard anything from brother AF that even gives me an inkling that he might be about that.
Really? I have. Really? Bro, do you not remember? Okay, so for those who don't know brother AF, this is Andy Frasella, right?
Yeah.
So one of his, like, old podcast hosts with him was a pastor, bro.
I think I've seen one episode. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Like, bro, he's been around it. And some of the stuff he says, I'm kind of like, okay. He doesn't want to let go of the cussing, for sure. But neither does, you know, our friend Tim Ross. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily...
Ooh, I ain't going for Tim, bro.
Bro, the cussing pastor, that's why.
But, but you know, I'm going to say this and I'll let it rest, yeah? The reason why I said what I said about, do you think it's because he's more explicit, is because, truthfully, yeah, there's a whole bunch of people that are doing stuff in secret, right? And putting on a good costume and showing up at all of the events and all of that kind of stuff, holding their Bibles, preaching and all of that kind of stuff, and living life's equivalent, if not worse, than what some of these people are doing. And so that's the reason why I said, do you think it's because he's more explicit? Because he doesn't present as somebody who is trying to come across as I'm a bishop. If the listeners didn't get it, he's not really about that life.
He's not really a bishop. Yeah, he's not. No. But
yeah,
and that's, go ahead. I guess the question is, right, is that the Christian who is, you know, putting on the costume, but then you know, doing whatever, like, are they really about it?
Come on, that's my point.
So, and so that
I would rather. Yeah. Listen, I would rather you just live fully with what you're on and be what you're about, rather than presenting with pretense.
But are either of them about it?
Say it again?
Are either of those people...
No, this is my point. They're both in the same category, bro. But and that's why I'm saying to you, because they're both in the same category, why pretend? Like, live your life.
Yeah.
Do your thing. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. And at least I know, and I can honestly assess what you say, because I know where you're coming from. So I'm like, I'd rather you don't pretend.
Don't pretend.
Don't pretend. We went on a big detour there.
I know. I'm sorry.
And we were naming people that, like, you know, anyway. Because I believe he's not a Christian, right? So I've always got to, and even if he was a Christian, you still have to measure what he says against the word, right? And I was just trying to think about, is that what godly patience looks like? Do you know what I mean? But when we talk about it, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, like, doing what you got to do. So, for example, with the cursing of the fig tree, Jesus cursed the fig tree, went about his day, went about doing other things, came back the next day, fig tree was dead. Cool. Like, he didn't stand and watch the fig tree slowly curl up and wither. He just went. So I was just trying to think about, like, okay, is this actually, like, is this good godly advice? You know, go and do other things. So when he first said it, I was like, let's say, for example, we're waiting on God. What is God expecting us to do in that time? Let's say, like, for example, and that's where, like, I just hadn't thought about it too deep yet. So, but Abraham, for example, God had promised him a son. He didn't just sit there and do nothing in the meantime for the son. He went around doing other things. You know, even like David, when he was told that, okay, you're going to be the king of Israel. He didn't just wait. In the meantime, he went around, did other things. He built other men up. He conquered different things. Like, he did a lot of stuff in between. He served in Saul's house. So, like, maybe it is actually a principle that we can follow.
100. And I think something that's helpful to analyze it for me is thinking about, what does impatience look like? What's the opposite of it, right? How would you explain impatience?
See, I've, from some conversations I've had, right, everybody has to wait. The question is, are you patiently waiting or impatiently waiting? So for me, impatience has this, like, agitation to it. You know, where, like,
do you have to wait then?
Yes. Yeah. I think so. So, for example, if you plant if you plant a tree, you're going to have to wait for it to grow. Like what we're talking about now, seed time and harvest. You know, let's say, for example, you're trying to build a business. Let's say you want to build £1 million business. It's going to be very rare for you to start it right now And then a minute from now, you've got a £1 million business, right?
Unicorn.
Bro, unicorn, like that's crypto on absolute steroids. That's like, bro. And even if you do like a crypto rug scam, rug pull, yeah? You'd still have to spend time building it all up, yeah? For your 1 minute of scamming. So nothing happens really instantly, does it? Like, nothing really. So you're always going to have to wait one way or another. Bro, even when you microwave your food, you've got to wait for a minute.
But the thing is, so what I'm thinking though, right, is even with like the business example.
Yeah.
If you're actually going to see it through, then absolutely. But it's like, if you didn't see the fruit that you were expecting to see or the tree you were expecting to see within whatever time frame you were expecting to see it, if you are bought mission and you're no longer watering it, you've pulled it out of the ground and you've moved on to something else altogether, do you still have to wait?
But you had to wait to see that it wasn't working. Do you see what I mean? How There's long? Always going... But whether you wait for 2 seconds or 2 years, you still waited. That's my thing, is that there's always going to be a period of time where you have to wait for something. So I think that it comes down to what you do in that waiting period, however long or short it is. It's like, are you agitated? Are you anxious about it? Are you constantly like, about it? You know, that's for me what impatience is. It's almost like agitation. Whereas patience for me is like calm. It's... I'm trying to describe it without using patient, but it is thing, like, you know, just settled, like things are happening. And I think there is something like you can go and do other things. I do like that, actually. Like, you can go and do something else, go and start something else that is in that season. So for example, let's say, you know, you're planting lemons and lemons need to be planted in winter and grow in summer. You know, once you've planted the lemons, why don't you do something that is the inverse? You know, you can be harvesting something in summer that needs to be planted. So it's that kind of thing of actually, how do you build your seasons and your life so that you can always have things to be doing? You know, because that thing of like the devil makes, you know, something about lazy hands, you know,
devil makes
like
the idle hands.
Oh, bruv, he'll give you work. Yeah, he'll give you work. Yeah. So I don't want my hands to be idle and I want them to be busy with the right things.
No, I hear it, man. I hear it. And I think, so I looked up patience and just synonyms as well, and one of the words that came up was endurance. And I think going on this same thing that we're talking about, it's like how you endure and what your endurance looks like, I think can vary, right? Because whether you decide to sit down and be the person that's like, yep, I don't mind, I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to wait for this thing to become a tree. Or if you decide to go off and do 1,000 things and come back every now and then to water it and to do whatever is necessary to help it grow.
Interesting.
The end result is, if both people practiced endurance and patience over the same amount of time, as long as they were both doing the right inputs, it's going to lead to the fruit, right? It's going to lead to the tree. So I definitely think there's a lot of flexibility in what we do whilst we're enduring. And I think where all of the other things that we're called to as disciples comes in is being wise about making sure that whatever it is that we're doing in the in-between is aligned with the characteristics and the nature we're supposed to have.
And I think that sometimes when we think about planting seeds, sometimes the way we talk about it is just like you plant it and that's it. But bro, you and I both know from our gardening and stuff that, bro, every day there is work to be done.
Bro, every that day. Grass came through thick and fast.
The weeds, bro, that came out of nowhere. Oh,
listen.
There's always stuff to tend to it. So, and that's where I think even what God told Adam was tend to the garden. Yeah.
Come on.
And that's where, like, bro, the garden was perfect. There was no sin, no curse. I don't even know if there were weeds there, right? Because weeds choke out and kill. So maybe there weren't even any weeds there, but God still told him to tend to the garden. So there was still something that needed to be done. So I just feel like, don't underestimate what still needs to be done, even once you've sown your seed.
good stuff. So,
Go ahead. I had a perfect illustration of patience versus impatience. So when I go to restaurants, if you've been to a restaurant with me, you'd have probably experienced a time where the food takes really, really long. My order is wrong in some way, shape or form. Or they just don't come and serve us. Like, bro, these things happen to me on a regular basis in restaurants. Mm. And I think that restaurants are my training ground for patience. Because if I'm in a restaurant, bro, I'm hungry. Yeah. So the question is, am I going to keep getting up and down, bugging the waiter about it? Am I going to be rude to the waiter when my food doesn't come correct? Am I going to be annoyed when they don't come and serve us? Or am I going to be patient, enjoy my time with my friends, and let the food come when it comes? Do you see what I mean? Mm. Like, it's a regular thing for me. It's like, okay, now I'm starting to keep looking over. Now I'm getting impatient. You know, just settle. Mm. They'll come when they come, talk to my people, enjoy my time, and it will happen when it happens. You know, that was one of the things I was thinking about in terms of patiently waiting or impatient.
Mm. And what do you do when you see some weeds coming up? How about that for a question?
Oh, bruv, you have to yank them out. But do you know one story I've not quite got my head around in the Bible? Is, you know, with the wheat and the tares?
Oh, yeah.
I've never really like fully got it. It's like, yeah, let them grow up together. I was like, oh. Didn't expect that.
Why?
Because, bro, my gut instinct with when there are weeds, you tear them out, you put them up, get rid of them. They're not helpful, and if you don't stop them from growing, they will overrun your garden.
Yeah.
So that's something that I would love to get more understanding and revelation on, is that particular story, parable, whatever it is.
So I'm gonna put it up. And I'll share one of the things that I understood from it when I was studying it, which may or may not help. So it's Matthew 13. Bear with me. Share on the screen as well. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. Do you mind reading, bro?
Which verse from, sorry, did you say?
From 24. It's the only verses I've put up. Do you want me to put the full chapter?
No, I've got it on here. I can't read it right now from that tiny
No, that's fine. Thing.
Here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds amongst the wheat, then slipped away. I didn't even like have in my head that someone came and planted that, which is also another dynamic for this story. Very interesting. When the crop began to grow and produce again and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. Wow. Should we... I've never had that thought when I've seen weeds in my garden. My enemies have caught me.
You know what? It's so funny because me and my brother-in-law were having this conversation last year in the summer.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this gardening thing, right? And he was just talking about how these weeds were coming up and all of that kind of stuff. I was complaining. And then he just came out with, "An enemy has done this." Wickedness.
That's the wickedness, bro. Killing all my grass for the
fall. I'm telling you. Sorry.
Should we pull out the weeds? They asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and put the wheat in the barn."
And then from verse 36, same chapter.
"Then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, 'Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field.' Jesus replied, 'The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds amongst the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone who with ears should hear, should listen and hear and understand.
I'm just quickly pulling up one more thing. Give me 1 second.
Yeah.
I will summarize it. So, one of the other things that we know from scripture is it speaks about how it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Mm. And one of the times when I was studying this, one of the thoughts that I had was that God wants to save as many as he can, and even those that are driven and inspired by the enemy to uproot can be converted by the power of God. So I suspect it's possible that one of the reasons is more of a salvific approach.
Interesting.
And then the other side of that as well is for those that don't get converted, the case against them is even stronger, because you were given absolute maximum time.
Interesting. I think as a conceptual thing, I understand. I think what's interesting is that it's like in verse 29, it says, no, you'll uproot the wheat if you do. And it's like, that's a big part of the reason he's like, no, don't uproot it. Because if you uproot the weeds, because you know, like when you pull out a weed, bro, all the other stuff that comes up with it as well, it comes up with a little like chunk of everything else. So it sounds like from this, it's almost like, well, to protect the wheat, we don't remove the tares.
So again, even on that as well, wheat's going to come in different forms, right? Because even within people within Christendom, you're going to have people that are more mature, you're going to have people that are less mature. People that are more at risk of something suddenly happening in front of them that causes them to say, oh, what kind of wicked God does this? I don't know, you know?
Interesting.
And then there are others that have more knowledge and understanding. But again, I don't know exhaustively.
That's really those interesting. That's a really interesting way to think about it. Really, really interesting. Yeah, I've always just wondered about this, like, because that's not the general. The general thing is you better pull them weeds up out of your garden. But but it sounds like the wheat can still grow even when the weeds are there. And I think that that's a really interesting thing for us to think about as Christians, is that, okay, even though there's lots around you like that, God is still expecting you to be able to grow. Not in like a harsh expectation way, but God has every understanding that you can still grow in that environment. So that's really interesting for me.
For sure. Final words for this person as they finish listening to this episode and they're thinking about all the things that have been said on this subject of whether seed time and harvest and all of those principles work for them.
I think for me, it's really like, it works if you work it. And that's the general principle for life, right? Like when you do the work and when you do the things that you're meant to do, things will generally over time look the way that they're meant to look. Like that's how this works, you know? So if you sow the seeds, you water the seeds, like seed time and harvest is there whether you believe it or not. It's gonna work. So participate, you know? Like one of the things from Bishop Paul Mosey is he says that sometimes
you're gonna be looking for his church after this, I'm telling
honestly
you.
One of the things that I like that he does, right, is he says that, look, sometimes when I tell people what I know will work and they say, oh well, that won't work for me, he's like, okay, you're right. it will never work for you and you'll be poor for the rest of your life. And everyone's like, no, it's like, okay, so which one is it? Either it's just not going to work for you and that's just your fact and that's your lot in life, or you're not actually doing the things to work it. So for me, it's like, if you want to believe that seed time and harvest doesn't work for you, okay, sure, you'll never be able to reap anything then. But if you start to realize that it will work, you have to do your part to sow seeds, then go do that. You know, you can kind of have it whichever way you believe, like whether you believe you can't or you can't, you can or you can't, you're right. Like it's really, really up to you. And there's something that I really like about patience, and I don't know who's the original person. It says, be impatient with your inputs, but patient with your outputs.
Be impatient with your inputs,
yeah,
but be patient with your outputs.
So okay. For example, if you're applying for a job, apply, impatiently apply, send all your stuff. If you're trying to network, message 100 people a day, do your stuff impatiently. But then once you've done your inputs, be patient with the outputs. Okay, I sent out 100 today. Okay, no one's come back to me tomorrow. No one's come back to me the next day. Be patient with the outputs. Be patient with watching those things grow, but impatiently do it. Like, do your stuff, crank out. And that's where, you know, Hormozy's saying about, okay, do your 5,000 flyers instead of 300. You know, like, do the volume that's going to get you the results, and then be patient with the outcomes.
Sounds good.
What would you say?
I would say maybe the reason why you think it doesn't work for you, because this is something that just occurred to me whilst we were talking, but maybe it's because you have been impatient.
Ooh.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I think if you're going to, oftentimes faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen.
Things not seen.
So fear is usually to do with things seen, right? And sometimes unseen. Sometimes
it's
unseen
to do
as well.
What you've heard as well. It's not even necessarily like what you've seen. It's like, because bro, some of the stuff that we're afraid of, you've never actually seen happen in real life.
No, for real. On both sides. So I think, and I think this is, again, this is where it's perspective and how you look at things and how you interpret different things as well. Because if you say, for example, yeah, but I tried it and it didn't work for me. But you're measuring that based on you dropping the seed in the ground, putting the dirt on, putting the watering can over it, and then not seeing a tree straight away, then of course. But then it's like, the more you understand about what should realistically be expected, the more you'll know how to measure the feedback points you're getting. So like, again, if I expect that as soon as I drop that seed in the ground, it's just going to explode into a tree, then of course, I'm going to be upset, frustrated. I'm going to feel like, why is it not working for me? They've all got trees. I've just tried to do the thing they said that I should do and nothing's coming up. And again, that comes back down to, again, impatience. And when, maybe you didn't even know you needed to be patient. Maybe
bro,
you didn't have
the right perspective. Who are you listening to that told you that if you plant a seed today, it's going to grow tomorrow? Who did you listen to that told you that?
But you know what? Because we're talking about the example of a seed and all of that kind of stuff, right? Take it into the context of being able to earn a particular amount of money, right?
Yeah, but who told you that's quick? Who told you that that happens overnight?
But this is the thing. That's why I said perspective and how you interpret data. Because if you're looking at the story of 10 people who seem to be earning what you would love to earn, but you're not taking into account the fact that they spent however many years or whatever the time frame was to actually get there, and they started on half what you're on right now, then it's like you can have a wrong expectation, not even necessarily because someone said this is how long it's meant to take. Maybe you haven't even had those conversations and maybe you've just made assumptions, right? People coming out of uni, like, I don't know how it is today. I haven't spoken to many graduates, right? But I remember when we came out of uni, there was a lot of people frustrated, bro. A whole bunch of people that felt scammed and they felt like, I've just studied for all of these years. I've just spent all of this money and I can't get the job that I'm looking for, right?
Yeah,
much
bro,
more so even in our field.
But that's because when we were growing up, we're told you go to uni and when you graduate uni, you get a good job. Because that's also what happened.
Yeah, but when did they tell you that you get a good job immediately? Because
I never heard
that.
Yeah.
No one ever specifically said to me that, yeah, I get the general gist of, yeah, you go to uni, you get a good job. 100%. But I feel like there are some details that we filled in the gaps ourselves, right? Because nobody came and explicitly said to me, yep, it's going to take you, as soon as you collect that thing and you walk across the stage, there's going to be 1,000 employers that are going to be calling you, offering you a great job, right?
Well, do you know what though, bro? Like, some, like, I had a job before I left uni.
So did I.
Do you see what I mean? So, huh?
So did I. But I applied early.
So, that's why. Exactly. Do you see what I mean? It's not even like, not true. Yeah. But are people doing the things that you're doing, bro? I went to the job fairs. I made
the, I got ahead, like, of the curve, bro. You know what I'm
saying? So, it, bro, it's not even untrue. That's the thing.
Supply,
it's like,
and demand.
Bro, come on.
I looked at the field and I said to myself, this is when everyone else is applying. How about I slip in here?
Exactly. See? And this is what I'm saying. Like, people don't know that, though, right? People might think, okay, but because Arnold went to uni, he got a job straight away.
He just got
No, Arnold went to uni, applied early, and got a job straight away. If you look at the lead time between when you applied and when you got the job, it might even be similar to someone else who applied after they graduated. So we don't know all the facts, and I really like what you said about assumptions, I like what you said about assumptions. Assumptions are what we're telling ourselves. It's that narrative that we have, and what we always need to be checking is the narrative that I have in line with the truth?
Come on.
That's, for me, that's the bottom line of it, is your assumptions, what you've been told, whatever it is that you're listening to, whether internal or external, you have to line it up and see if it's in line with the truth, in line with the word. Is that the truth of actually how this works?
And I've got a perfect couple of verses to finish this off with, which are exactly on this subject. And it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse. I will go from verse 3. Let me share the screen.
I like where you're going.
From verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." And I think there was a great example I remember being taught about years ago, where someone was speaking about how there's a few different things they call it. I think they call it like the courtroom of your mind, other people, the sorting place of your mind. But it's like, it's the idea of recognizing that not every single thought and every idea that comes into your mind is one that you should accept, and how important it is to filter every single thought and idea, arrest it, interrogate it, take that thing captive, cross-examine it. And if it doesn't align with the truth that God's word reveals, or what God says about you, what his principles teach us, put that thing in jail. Don't allow that thing to live and manifest. But oftentimes the mistake that we can make is just accepting every single thought that comes into our mind. And so then you've got that criminal thought that has just come into your mind and has now decided to take over the whole place, make a whole home, have some babies, right? And reinforce some dead mindsets. With all of the fears and the other thing that have been sitting there for years, they manifest, they recreate, they reproduce after their kind.
Agreed.
And that's what leads to strongholds.
Oh.
But the encouragement that we get from this is that, like the verses say, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So even if those strongholds have been built up, even if those criminals have had a bunch of babies and reproduced all of this nonsense in your mind, there is still hope that those things can be destroyed.
I think what you said about they'll reproduce after its kind, I think that is so vital, because it says that every seed reproduces after its kind. You know, you're not going to plant an apple and get an orange. There is no way that you can plant bad thoughts and get good fruit. It's impossible. It's impossible. So we need to understand that everything that we think is a seed. So if you keep dwelling on that thought, what is it going to grow into? If you keep growing on "it doesn't work for me," what is that going to grow into, and what fruit are you going to eat? If you keep dwelling on, okay, this person doesn't like me, this person's horrible, where is that going to grow? Bro, even if that person is horrible to you, yeah, and you keep dwelling on the fact they're horrible to you, where is that going to take you? It's not going to take you anywhere good. That's where it says, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report. So, okay, someone saying that they don't like me, is that a good report? No. So why am I dwelling on it? It can be a fact, but I don't need to dwell on that. Like, it's so important, the thought seeds that we allow to grow in our heads.
Yeah, man. Because they never stay the same size. Like,
nope.
It's... Do you know what's really interesting, bro? Is that, and I didn't have this thought until now, good seed takes work to nurture and to make it grow. Weeds, you ain't gotta do nothing. Them things there will find something to just to satisfy and help it to grow. They will do it all by itself. And it's so interesting how a garden left unattended, and this garden episode is gonna come up. We do it every year, bro, but not today. A garden left unattended. All of the good seed, all of the good things will eventually perish. Like, I've watched a bunch of nature shows. Weeds, though, like you said, bro, like, I went out into my garden the first time in a long time the other day, bro. All this nice little area that we planted for our little girl with all these nice little flowers and stuff, bro. Like, because it's behind a bit of a, like, a dwarf brick wall. So I went around it and I saw nothing but just one big old weed, bro. Just growing, chilling.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Reasons Behold podcast. Think about it. Think about it. It works if you work it. It's going to happen anyway, so you might as well get involved. Thank you guys for listening, and see you on the next episode. Peace.